I am convinced in my life, and as I look at the Word of God, that everything that God has for a Christian, He gives us enough time for it to be fulfilled, and He gives us opportunity to take hold of what Christ has accomplished for us. Yeah? For that to be true, I think there's two things I need to understand. The first is an understanding of grace. Is that me? Oh, okay, no worries. An understanding of grace, right? That I feel sometimes many of us struggle with the breadth and the depth of grace. And I wrote something down just recently, which I will actually say right now. I think that as Christians, and the scripture I'm going to look at in a moment is from Romans 4, it's probably true to say that if all we experience of God is grace, it's wonderful, but often can lead to being passive. That means because it's all of grace, I don't have to do anything. Absolutely true, isn't it? Absolutely true. But as we'll read in Romans 4, it says there, "For it is by grace, so that faith actually has to work with it. And if I have just grace, I can become quite passive. But if I have faith and not grace, I can become quite legalistic." Yeah? "But if I have grace and faith working together, everything that God has promised us can be ours." So let's look at that practically in Romans 4, just a few verses. I'd like to read more, but because of time I won't. So we're going to read from verse 16, will probably be enough. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be certain, sure, to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. As it's written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls the things which are not, or things which do not exist, as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver, did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully," I like the authorized version here, "and being fully persuaded," convinced, some of the other versions say, "that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore it was counted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us," say that with me please, "but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and who was raised because of our justification." The thing about grace is you don't really know that it's coming to you until it comes. How many of you knew 2 years before you came to Christ that you were going to experience grace. Now, there's a thing called prevenient grace, where God does some workings towards us, leading us and guiding us, but we normally only see that after, don't we? So a great example here is Abraham. So if you read in Genesis, what happens is his father, Terah, moves towards Canaan, leaves Ur of the Chaldees. Doesn't seem as though God had spoke to Abraham by then. And then there they are in Haran, waiting for the next step, yeah? And Terah dies. Up till that point, we don't seem to have any kind of sense that Abraham saw that grace was going to come to his life. Yeah? And then it just says, and God spoke to Abraham. Boom. God just says, Abraham, get up, leave this place, and go to land that called you to go to. Take your wives, your flocks, and everything. And then he says to him, by the way, I'm going to make your seed as great as the stars of heaven. All the families on the planet will be blessed through you. Yeah? And then, of course, we know he promises him a son way past his age, right? And Sarah's ability to have a child. And he himself could do nothing. It was God's doing. Yeah? Now, that's so wonderful, because if you're a Christian tonight, if you know God in your life, you know Jesus Christ, it happened to you totally by grace. Totally by grace. So that in actual fact, it was God who initiated it. Yeah? It was God who set up the conversation, the meeting, the place, whatever, where he would speak to you. It was God who brought the person to speak the gospel or whatever. You didn't have anything to do with it. And that's the amazing thing about grace. Because God initiates it and includes you in his purpose. And you, all you have to do is accept it and receive it that God has spoken. Now, here's the wonderful thing. How do you know? How do we know? I'm a preacher. How do I know when I'm in a meeting of, I don't know, 15, 20 like here, or whether you're in a meeting of thousands? I don't know what God's grace is about to do. And by the way, neither do you know about your neighbor or your work colleague. Yeah? But actually, God's grace, as we use that phrase, but let's be clear what it means, unmerited, undeserved favor. Now, this could give us a kind of funny view of God, because we could say, oh, that means he just chooses people. But the thing is, you've got to remember, he's God. So when he makes choice, when he says to somebody a word, that grace only comes when you, by faith, believe it. Yeah? And by the way, it's not just a principle for us for having our sins forgiven, as Paul's using in Romans 4 there. I believe it's a bigger principle. That actually, when I, by grace, hear God speak, and then I know that, as it says here in 16, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Something happens when our faith, yeah, that God has quickened and made work in our lives, we believe what God says. Now, I don't know how you can do that for anybody else. That's why we talk about personal salvation. But one of the things that I feel, both in the area of conversion and in the area of seeing God do things in our life, is this verse here being fully convinced, fully persuaded. Now, that word in the New Testament is only mentioned probably three times. And it's interesting because it shows us something about the way in which we can be persuaded. Or, conversely, we cannot be persuaded. The thing that brought God to work in Abraham's life and say, you are righteous, is because it says, he looked in the mirror and he looked at his wife and he looked at the stars and he looked at the promise of God and said, if that's God, I believe it. No, what we call empirical evidence. Nothing to say, well, how do I know that, please? Yeah? No evidence. In fact, the evidence that God did give him of circumcision was not the easiest one, was it? Won't go there, but you know what I'm saying. And so clearly, I realize that that's the principle on which God works. God speaks. When he speaks, he's got grace in every word that he speaks to perform what he's promised. It's amazing, isn't it? And what it says is, it is a faith that it might be according to grace. It's like God is looking. I got thinking on this the other week, and I was thinking, that means, because I was on holiday, that means everybody on this campsite, God, you could be speaking to. And I don't know. But actually, we only find out that God has been speaking to somebody when they believe what he said. Yeah? They believe what he said. I don't know about you, I've heard some testimonies, I've got time to share them with you tonight, but the way people have come to faith in Jesus Christ, by the most bizarre ways that God spoke to them. Yeah? And God spoke to them, and they believed it. And they believed it was God. And somehow God said, that's okay. Now they need to be led to faith. And you can only do that, of course, if you believe what God's word says. So, it's a major battle for me in my spiritual life, and I guess for you. Because I don't know about you, I want my spiritual life to grow. I want my faith to grow in God. You've heard me mention before that sometimes when I watch the old black and white videos I've got of the healing evangelists in the 1950s, where they emptied hospitals, where Oral Roberts in Jacksonville, Florida, actually, at one of his meetings, there was about 5,000 in the tent. Every person in that tent was healed that night. Is that just a gift? Well, of course it is a gift. Because grace gives you what you don't deserve. So, is that available to all of us? I don't know. But whatever God's got for James, I'm going to call you Robert then. Do you know the name Robert? Whatever God's got for James, it seems to me that because God knows everything from the beginning to the end, that I believe that God has actually already planned everything in my life, right through past this life, past death, into eternity. He has already provided. It is finished. It's done. So that by grace, God offers it to me. And by faith, I choose, by the working of the Spirit, to believe what God has said. That's all you can understand from Abraham, that in actual fact, he said, God, imagine a conversation, he said, well, maybe that's why my dad moved down here. Maybe you spoke to him. But all I know that last night, you said this, and I choose to believe God. And grace came upon his life. Grace for the miraculous. Grace to say, when others said, this can't happen. He says, he did not stagger at the promises of God. So my heart tonight is for me personally and for us that we will be fully persuaded. Yeah? So, if you know the scriptures, if you look, there's a two or three things I'll just mention quickly. First of all, I've got to understand, as far as Luke 16:31 is concerned, that there are some people who will not be persuaded. How can I say that? Well, in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, it says this. Abraham says to the rich man, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Sometimes we think that people will actually be persuaded by miraculous signs. Doesn't always work. You know, when I was a lad, I take along with my parents to our home church in Yorkshire, Wathundern, and these two evangelists, Barrett and Williams, were preaching the gospel and praying for the sick. And long story short, at the house next door, a pit house next door, a woman was taken out having some kind of stroke and whatever, and the ambulance man was there, and the deacon on the door was still waiting on the door. And he went over to the ambulance man and he said, hey, he said, where are you going? To hospital with her? He said, yeah. He said, why don't you bring her in here? There's an evangelist. And the two, I mean, how bizarre is that? The two ambulance men said, no, if you want her. And her husband said, take her in. And took her in. And Barrett just came down off the stage. They were holding her. Put his hands on her. Said, in the name of Jesus. She'd got off the, what do you call it, stretcher. She got off the stretcher, was doing all the movements, going, in fact, her husband started laughing, his eyes popping out of his head, and she ran around the building twice. Ran around the building twice. Wow, this is great. This is wonderful. You know what? She never ever came to church. Because miraculous signs do not bring people to believe God's word. That was great for us, and I'll tell you what, it was great for her. But what we're reading in that parable is this, that sometimes people actually stumble when it comes to believing the word. And it's not, Jesus said in one place in the Gospels, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Just believe me, he said. I'm the word. And so clearly, sometimes people are not persuaded because they don't believe what God says. Right? And so here it is. Here's the Bible. This is God's word. This is what God says to us. This is the will of God for you. The plan of God for your life. Everything for you, past to be dealt with, present to be lived in, future destiny and hope, is all there, promised because God said it. That's why Paul, when he writes to Timothy, he said, this word is God breathed. It's like the hot air of his breath. When he speaks his word, he's saying, this is for you. And you've got to choose to believe the word. Yeah? Because in Romans 10 it says, for faith comes by hearing and seeing a miracle. Did it say that? No, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. Something happens, something excites God, something releases grace into our lives, futures, destinies, when we say, I believe God. And I don't fully understand how, but in that grace, there's a gift from God that says, I couldn't care what I see, I couldn't care that I'm 100 years old, I couldn't care that whatever, God has said it. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that the night I got saved, I experienced that. Yeah? I experienced it. Didn't know it before, but wow. God, you're real. You know, and your sort of brain's saying, who are you talking to? I'm talking to God. Why did you not before? Well, because something has happened. Yeah? By grace, through faith. So beware, because if you don't believe the word, you'll not be fully persuaded about something. Okay? And of course, that's why Satan loves to attack the word. Secondly, in Matthew 27, you have to be careful because you might be persuaded by others. It says about the chief priests in Matthew 27, the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. I have found that there are certain things that you have to hear God. Otherwise, you can be dissuaded. Now, I remember my stepfather, Fred, is with the Lord now. When I said to him, I'm off to Afghanistan. He said, come round and see me. Come round and see him. He said, I don't think I'll see you anymore. I think you're going to die in Afghanistan. Fred, I'm coming back. Because I know God has spoken to me. I know God has said, go, it's not a problem. And when I came back, I said to him, I'm here. And in his Yorkshire way, he said, it's a good job that I heard God. Yeah? But you have to be careful because there are people sometimes who can shift you. That's why if somebody says to me, God has promised me my healing, I will not argue with him. Right? Because if you have heard that from God, and if you believe his word, how dare we countermand what God has said to that person? Yeah? The lady who went to Hong Kong, Jackie, her elders give her really good advice. They said, don't go. And sometimes we can have rational, careful, good thinking. But into that, we have to say, but God. Yeah? But God. Because if we don't, we'll miss. Because you see, people can persuade us away from what God has said. Okay? Now, I'm totally against if you don't listen to those who love the Lord and are older than you in the Lord and the wisdom and counsel. It's foolishness to ignore it. But sometimes, God can say things. You have to say, well, look, I thank that. But look, let's just see what's going to happen. Because I just believe God has spoken to my life. I can imagine there were quite a few who said to Abraham, you're going where? You got what done to you? You what? You're going to have a child? Yeah? Sarah? Get the idea? So if I'm going to be dissuaded, I've got to watch that I make sure God has spoken and it's anchored in His Word. And people who don't do that, I'm telling you now, they'll never be persuaded. They'll be blown about. Some people will be adversely persuaded because, well, these guys wanted a different agenda, at least Barabbas. So we have to be careful of influences. You know, if God has spoken, I would never be in Norfolk if I'd listened to some AOG pastors in Yorkshire. They were good men. And bless them, they saw potential in me. But don't go to Norfolk, Paul. It's a dead hole. There's nothing there. You know, it's the place where they, in my Yorkshire accent, bury. Not buried. It's where you get down at Middleton on the fields. It's the place where they bury evangelists. You just go into obscurity. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I could say to them, but God has told me. Yeah? So when we packed everything on the back of a little truck and we're on our way here, and God has spoken to both of us. Yeah? We're as happy as anything because we're doing what God said. I have a deep desire that Christians will all hear God keep saying fresh things to them. Yeah? And that when they hear God, they'll be fully persuaded. The last one, I end with this. I was going to say a lot more, but you know what I'm like. Paul testifying in front of Agrippa. He says to Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost. The issue was there was the cost of change was too great. The cost of change. Can I give up this?